Good morning. Good morning. Hello. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, doggies.
I'm doing great now that I'm connected. I think I just made it with 5 seconds to go, if you can believe that.
I called in about a minute ago, and they said, I called in on this number, and they said something to the effect of, thank you for calling and listening to the show. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not on a line that I can actually talk on. So I called back in.
Funny.
Here I am.
Well, I think Kathy's going to join us.
Oh, cool.
She's not there yet. Hold on.
Are you running the show from your phone?
406-350-1890. Hold on a second. Here I am. Did she dial the wrong number? Hold on. And yes, I am running it from my phone.
Cool. I think I'm ready for an upgrade on my phone. I think I can get a little better phone.
There you go. I was going to say, if you could wait till September, you could take mine. In September, there she is. No, she's not there yet. 347-850-1890. Sorry, I figured we'd try a half an hour at a new time and see how it works.
Okay.
Do something a little different.
Fine by me.
And, there she is. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Hi, Kathy. Even her here.
Hi.
So we are back, Kathy, and we are live. Well, live as can be, since there's about 400,000 shows live. We're one of the many. And welcome to the radio show. And this is an opportunity, I think, for me to say that, you know, I realize I completely dropped the ball on this show. And I'm going to take full responsibility for the fact that I allowed my personal crapola to hijack me for a significant amount of time. And my commitment is to stay on this radio show and, if not, have it every single week, have it every other. But my commitment is every week. And move forward from there.
Wow. I don't want to minimize what you said, but do that for me.
And I think I'm in a place now where, and Kathy, I chose to move it a half an hour earlier. Partly because I knew you had said if it was earlier on Friday, and I think for me, doing 6:30 to 7:30 Minnesota time works a lot better. So that's my commitment. And hopefully that works for you.
Okay.
All right, the floor. The floor is somebody else's. Thoughts? Comments? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello? No. Were you saying things?
I lost. I came outside to get a good signal this morning, and my signal dropped. My oldest daughter, who's 24, her boyfriend asked me 2 days ago for permission to ask her hand in marriage. So that's pretty cool.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. It's exciting. He's a great guy, and they're a great couple, so it'll be great.
Congratulations.
I told him there's a few stipulations, though. Told him that he has to, if he has any trouble, he has to either go to family or friends for advice, and if it gets bad enough, he has to reread his marriage contract. And I told him that he has to constantly pursue her even after marriage to keep the romantic spark alive. So. Oh, and I also told him that he has to have my daughter sing for me at the wedding. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, really.
That sounds perfect.
Well, I didn't ask for like 50 cows or anything like that, so.
Like 25 turkeys?
What's that?
I said in Mexico it's 25 turkeys.
Yeah.
Usually goes the other way, though, usually.
Oh, that's right. The daughter's dad has to give the dowry, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah, they're not expecting anything. My daughter was in Kenya on a missionary trip, and she was with the Maasai, the tribe, you know, the ones who wear red and jump and stuff. Maasai something, I forgot. Anyway, and she asked one of the men in the village, said, so how much am I worth as far as cows? Because I guess they give cows to the daughter's family for marriage. And he said, about probably 15 cows. And she was like, oh, that's good. And then she pointed to her blonde-haired friend who was with her and said, how much would she get for her dowry? And I said, about 40 cows, because she has white hair. So.
Now that's interesting, being referred to by the number of cows you're worth. So tell me, Henry, what have you been up to? Let's do a little update for each of us.
I've been working quite a bit around the shop. I got a Jeep project done that we've been working on for over 5 years. Been working on a boat, been doing some welding. Taking the boat out, having a little bit of fun doing that, and mostly just being a homebody and working around the shop. Nothing too exciting, but just staying busy and having a good time.
And do you want to put in the space a little bit about what you told me yesterday?
Oh, Let's see. Yeah, but I forgot what I told you. Refresh me a little.
Oh, you had told me about your relationship status.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I am currently available.
Oh,
I,
wow.
I took, put myself on
after
the market.
How many years?
Well, it was off and on, probably a little over 5. But total years we dated was probably 3. And it, she, I don't know. I'm just saying this for me, and it seemed like she was just sucking the life out of me. We had good times, of course, but there's too many constraints on what I could do. I couldn't work in my shop when she was around because I had to spend time with her, and I couldn't meet my friends, buzz around her because I needed to spend time with her. And it goes back. It wasn't nothing I wasn't aware of because I'd broken up with her about that before, and I kind of got back into that same situation.
So are you feeling good about it then?
I'm feeling great about it, yes. Thank you.
And what are you creating now as a possibility for relationships?
An upgrade.
An upgrade. Can you put that another way, maybe?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right.
Not against relationships, just I've got to choose better.
What about if you were to take a look at if you were telling your daughter and she had a not good relationship with a guy?
Yeah.
What would you say to her? How would you phrase it to her? Just an upgrade.
Don't base your relationship just around sex. But see, my daughter not being a man, we have a fundamental fault being a man that sometimes we let our little head think more than our big head. So. I also told you that I have insurance to where I'm not going to go back to her. I have 3 different women that are going to kick me square in the balls if I go back to her.
That's useful.
Yeah. It's good to keep in the back of my mind when I think about it, you know.
I like the way you put that.
Yeah.
All
and my
right.
my brother's excited to see me get kicked in the balls because his girlfriend is one of them.
All right, Kathy, you want to give us a little update on you and what you're up to? How's work? How's your relationship stuff?
I mean, at the moment I'm feeling super vulnerable, and you know, it's not really reflective of my life as a whole. I, you know, there's lots of good things going on to me, but, well, this Monday I realized that
that the anger that gets sparked within me in my workplace, you know, it's mine. And it's not like it's like that's some shocking revelation or anything, but I just felt like, you know, it just became super clear that I have to do something about my anger. And even if it's anger that's precipitated by other people's actions or their beliefs or whatever, still my anger and basically my stuff. And and that doesn't, you know, unfortunately that doesn't dissolve it. I've never had to deal with my own anger in this way. Never been this hard. But I figure basically a spiritual jungle gym. But yeah, it hasn't been this hard because, you know, weren't being tested in that way before. And, you know, so I'm trying to be easy with myself about it and not to run away from it and try to make it be gone. But at the same time, it's like so clear to me that it's just such bullshit. I mean, oh my God. Like, why would I let any of this stuff ruin my experience of a beautiful, well, I don't know, it's a beautiful morning in the sense that it's a storm, sort of after the storm morning, still cloudy, but things are moist out in the garden. And, so I've been asking different folks who I know who have been working with anger more in their lives, well, what, you know, what do they do? And it's also, you know, it's a humbling opportunity, and you know, a way for me to know what it's like for other folks, you know, like who do struggle, you know, who have struggled with anger. And, and I'm sad about it, though.
I missed that last thing that you said.
And I'm sad about, but I'm still sad about the anger, Chad, that it's being so hard to just let go. And I don't really understand why. In the relationship world, I'm learning a lot about being a source of love. I'm not, not having expectations or needs. In terms of the levels of communication or commitment or frequency of spending time together that I'm committed to being grateful for the moments that I do spend with my lovers. And or have spent. I never know if I'm going to see him again. So so I'm practicing gratitude and not needing it. I mean, and that takes practice because that's not necessarily like always the way the body feels. But ultimately, I was saying to someone, I was thinking that I could learn to love myself better. And somehow that just kind of leaves me hanging. And then I realized how much nicer, metaphorically, it just worked to just remember that I'm a source of love. I just am love. I don't have to love myself. It's just like get in touch with the experience of love that's within me and just know it. That's how much my perspective on love anyway. It's not like someone can give it to me like a piece of chocolate cake.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, certainly being around certain people, you know, who are in touch with their own love or appreciative help me see, get into that space myself. But boy, it's much more powerful when I can, and if I can't get into it about myself, then no matter how strongly they feel loving, I don't necessarily feel it. It's all about my own capacity to get into touch with love. And I, so one of them did visit last night, and we don't talk much. What we share is music, and but I did tell him I had been like wanting to tell him that was my feeling about the relationship, and so I didn't feel like pulled on to give something that he wasn't going to be able to give. And I did manage to get it out of my mouth at the end of the, when he was leaving, just told him that I love him and that I would always love him no matter what. And yeah, he said thank you, and thank you for leaving me room to park here. You know, he's sort of joking around. I said, well, that's temporary.
Thank you for, so I missed that. There's a word I missed in that thank you. He said thank you for something around the park, it sounded like.
Leaving him room to park.
Oh.
The parking spots in front of my apartment are a little tight, but so... And he is a big fan for all his drum gear. So he had been joking about how I had parked almost up on the curb. So he had given him, you know, unknowingly a ton of room to park. Anyway, so it was sort of a joke.
Now I got it. Sorry. I was trying to extrapolate relationship and park. I'm like, huh?
Yeah. It was like a bit of a non sequitur, but
now I get it. Yeah, hey, it's all part of the dating game and relationship game where, you know, you make, quote unquote, make room for others.
Not necessarily. I mean, I think it's ideal for me to have these approaches. I'm not saying that, you know, it's what I want in the long run, you know, to have people just sort of flit in and flit out. But anyway.
Well, cool. Well, I think that since the last time we had a show, I have opened a car dealership, a used car dealership, We have about 40
one?
Tires.
The one that you have before?
No, we have
it on your own?
No, it's the same one, but I don't think we have had a conversation because it was the middle of February. I don't think we've been on this radio show since the middle of February, have we?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So it got officially opened. I mean, it was in the works. It's been in the works. It was open. It was supposed to open in November. My boss actually opened a little branch, but it was so far away in Stillwater, I never had anything to do with it. And they were just selling one or two cars at a time. Even though I did a lot of the paperwork and got a lot of that stuff managed, I didn't really have a lot physically to do with it. Well, we now have a space down behind the police station on Payne Avenue in St. Paul, and inside of that space now I have an office. I have we have a parking lot. We have beautiful, you know, spots and streamers, and you can tell it's a park. You can tell it's a dealership. And the kitchen, and I mean, it has become a full-blown, wow, this is a used car dealership. And it's a little nicer than some of the rest of them out in the world. So I was, I'm kind of what she likes to refer to as the general manager. I think another way for me to refer to what I do is I am the guy that is learning how to do all the financing stuff, which is kind of ironic. And last few days and before I left for England, because I just recently got back from England, I have been learning how to do credit financing for people. I'm learning about all the pitfalls and shortcomings that people have and what it takes to get financing. So kind of a whole new world for me. And I've also gained an appreciation, I would say, for who I am and how I am with my own personal financing and what it takes to keep a good credit rating. And so that's been pretty cool to learn that and realize that I've done a pretty good job given the pits that I've gone in and out of with finance. So that's kind of cool. Secondly, I have really found enjoyment now in learning something that's so different. At first, I was a little stopped by it, a little frustrated by it, didn't want anything to do with it. And now I've kind of come full circle. I'm enjoying learning something that is so different from anything I've ever done. And creating a new field of expertise for myself, which is wild. So that's cool. That's one thing. Second, I think since Henry, did you know my sister passed away?
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that. She fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a week ago, actually 2 weeks ago today, I hopped on a plane and went to England and was with my mother for 10 days. And actually 9 days because I stopped and saw my sister. The one, I don't know if you remember, who I got into a 6-month war with over a Boost candy bar. Did you remember hearing about? Do you remember that?
No, I don't. I didn't recall that.
Do you remember that, Cass?
No, I don't think I knew that particular story. I mean, I know that you have been had strained relations, but I don't know that I knew any details.
So I'd been over eating a candy bar, the last candy bar that was in a cupboard in her kitchen, and she had given me permission to eat anything, have anything, you know, make yourself at home. So I had made myself at home, and I took a candy bar, and I even let her know in an email. But she didn't get the email till later that night. And when she got home and found that there was this candy bar missing, she had been all excited to have it when she got home. And so she was so upset that she literally yelled at me on the phone when I was at my mother's over a candy bar. I learned that the value of a candy bar in my sister's eyes was such that it could impact the relationship with her brother.
Well, it's more about frustrated desire, not getting what you want.
Sure. Yeah, I can get that. And go ahead, Henry.
Was the candy bar good?
yeah, in fact, it's probably one of the best candy bars that I now have, and I had my cousin send me, he sent me two cases of them.
Did you send your sister one?
it's funny you should say that, because when it all happened, I was about to send her several of them in the mail with an apology, and my mother said, don't do that, because you'll piss her off.
Oh, dang.
So I actually chose to keep the peace and or the silence, so to speak. And I actually didn't talk to her for probably 5 months.
Oh, wow.
It was a messy situation in my world. You know, not like I haven't had messy situations and continue to with the dynamics of what I'm learning is a really wild family. I went over there and I just played it cool. I took her to dinner. I paid for dinner. And at the end of dinner, I chose to stay in her house. And I, you know, because I paid for dinner, I looked at it as, okay, I've paid for dinner, therefore I've paid to be able to stay in her house. I don't have to feel like I owe her anything. And so the evening went really well. And
this is when you were just there now?
Yeah, this was just 2 weeks ago today. And the other great thing about how my stay went, you know, this was a bummer for her. She got food poisoning.
Yeah.
And however, I was there to be able to take the dogs for a walk. So that was, you know, I thought that was kind of a blessing in disguise because I was able to, because she was busy going to and from the toilet at least 6 times in the morning. And then I left and went up to see my mother. And I learned that I have learned to have really good relationships with people in my life. And my relationships in my family, although sometimes I've always thought they weren't very good, are really quite unique, and I'm very lucky. So I spent most of the week, I did a little grieving over at my sister's house where her boyfriend still lives with their son, a 2-year-old son. And I provided a lot of coaching back and forth for him, for my mother, because he and my mother have been just like back and forth, picking on each other, poking each other, frustrated, upset, you know, because I lost my sister. And there's a lot of Connor inherited everything, the 2-year-old son. So now there's trustees involved, and that upset my mother because she doesn't have control. And Dean's been frustrated, the boyfriend, because they were looking to get married in November. So, you know, unbeknownst to anybody. So he feels like the rug's been pulled out from underneath him. And so there's a lot of animosity that went on. So I spent a tremendous amount of time working with the trustees, working with Dean, working with my mother, listening to my mother, reminding my mother that if she's not careful, she could lose complete contact with Connor because the father has 100% custody, period. And if she's nasty, he could take her, Connor away. So, and I'm back in the saddle, back in good old Minnesota, USA. I'm happy to be here, and I'm back in full force, looking to get my coaching business off the ground. I'm going to have a meeting with somebody that has helped many small businesses get off the ground next Wednesday, and have a really powerful conversation with him because he's done business consulting his whole life. So I'm really excited about that. And that's a little update about me.
Great.
And I'm looking forward to having this show. So if the time works, we'll do 6:30 to 7:30 next week. That's agreeable. And the crowd fell silent. And I think one of the things that I'm going to come to the call with, this is my plan, is to send you both a text message or an email prior to the call with an idea for a topic. Or if you have another one, reply and send me that one in an area of life that's important to us. And well, I'd like to just share back and forth, you know, and start to look and see, share our experiences and grow from that point. What do you think?
I like it.
I'm open.
What's that, Kat?
Yeah, I guess I'm open to that, giving that a try.
Okay.
I mean, it's my day off on that day, but I think I'll probably be awake anyway, so.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you both for coming to the call. And thanks for understanding about the last couple of months. And I look forward to creating a structure that supports what you're up to in life.
Cool.
Any closing comments for either of you?
Yeah, I just want to thank both of you guys for sharing. And congratulations on being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks.
That shows a lot. strength and determination
Thanks.
And creativity and possibility. And
Jeff, I just want to know when you're going to have your first silly car salesman show commercial on TV.
Oh, there you go. I would gently put that out about at least, I would say till next, maybe the fall I'll be ready for that. So I'll say by my birthday.
Okay. We have
That's
one
my,
in our area. We have one car commercial for a Kia dealership, and it's a silly one, and they've done so much graphics on it that almost makes your brain want to have a seizure because they got so much going on the different colors and kaleidoscopes and stuff flashing and a little animated man dancing around. And every time I see it, I think, man, if somebody's epileptic, they probably shouldn't watch this commercial because I almost want to have a seizure and I'm not even epileptic.
That's funny.
And you probably already know this, but there's a variety of companies that offer websites that are specifically geared for dealers to offer their, you know, to take, you know, do the work of a website, well, dealer is the website.
Oh, no, I didn't. Right now we're using Facebook.
Facebook's a good one to use.
Yeah.
There's ones that, you know, kind of are structured around, oh, you're going to upload photos of cars and kind of help you do inventory and that kind of stuff. But I'm not necessarily advocating it. I'm just saying that it's out there. And there's different price levels and stuff.
Yeah, currently we're doing Facebook and Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes some of these things will also, like, do automatic postings of, you know, like you're uploading it to this site and it posts in all these different venues, you know, all the common
venues.
That'd
be cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, you guys have a great week and I will look forward to communicating with you before Friday and chatting with you, if not before, perhaps Kathy over the weekend. Otherwise, sometime We'll catch you on the airwaves on as a group on Friday. But I'll reach out to you here soon, Kath, when I'm on the road.
Thank you both for patience with me today.
Yep.
Anytime.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week. I'll see you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.